Okay, let's ask the Lord's blessing again tonight. Father, we pray that you would bless us with an ability to hear you, an ability to receive your words. In Jesus' name, amen. How does a person prepare to speak for God? How does a person prepare to speak for God? You can study the topic of public speaking in general, and your study would very likely unearth some very helpful tips and strategies. But you will not find what is necessary to prepare you to speak for God. In my undergraduate and graduate school training, I took classes in public speaking, homiletics, preaching, and even though those studies were in the context of theological and biblical training, they still do not provide the sharp focus, the direction that is needed to prepare someone to speak for God. So what resource might we find that could do this? What resource might we discover that is designed specifically to train and prepare people to speak for God? Well, surprise, the answer is the Bible. Not too surprised, are you? And in our case, the book of Ezekiel, and that is a little more of a surprise. You know, one way that you know that you're following God and you're not just forging your own way ahead and asking God to bless your plan, whether it's teaching a class or preaching a message or whatever that is when actually you see, it's like, hey, I didn't know this was going to go this way. I didn't plan for that left turn or that U-turn or whatever it might be. It's really a good way to see, it's just like feedback that God gives you, because it's like, good, because there's one thing that we need to make sure that we're not doing is that we are not we're not the ones prioritizing, we're not the ones choosing the direction. So it's heartening to see. I get into this Ezekiel study, and sure, I saw some things that God was going to bring us through a whole lot more. I have no clue on what he's going to do with us with the study. But the just such firm, focused direction on this, I saw it in part, but not the depth. And then in studying through it also, the necessity of this. See, my leading question was, how does a person prepare to speak for God? But that question could really be preceded by another, maybe should be, but not tonight's study. Do we prepare to speak for God? I believe I've seen a lot over 40 plus years where people preaching, people teaching Sunday school class, I don't know how much they've consulted God. We've looked at texts here out of Isaiah and Jeremiah over the last few years, and I've brought them up. I didn't find them today to bring out to you, but basically what God says through Jeremiah says, you're speaking for me, but you haven't listened to me first. A lot of that goes on in our world, in our country, in our churches. We speak for God, but we haven't listened to him. One way you know that, because you're saying a lot of things, and it's like, where did they get that? A text of Scripture is open and said, this means this, and you're looking at the words. Because, see, that's the only thing we have to go on. What do the words actually say? So we got to ask ourselves, do we prepare to speak for God? We're going to look at tonight more how do we do that, but I think we will also see this necessity, and it'll have us in our hearts thinking through this. Yes, we need to make sure we do this. 1 Peter 4:11. I'm going to read the first part of that verse out of the NASB, the NIV, and the NLT. But it says, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. The ESV has as one who is speaking the oracles of God. NIV says, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. And the NLT says, do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. If we took 1 Peter 4:11 to heart, our Sunday schools, worship services, various church programs across our land, here and across our land, would be dramatically transformed to the glory of God. There would be a whole lot more of God talking and a whole lot less of people and their opinions. We say, well, that's quite a formidable task, and it is. Well, let me read this quote to you from Derek Thomas, and this is from an Ezekiel commentary I have too, because, and this is going to be another point of emphasis that we'll see. Another way of telling, you know, I said that we can tell that, well, is it our direction or God's? It's like, oh, didn't see that turn coming. And another way, and I see this more and more in my life, it's like what God puts in my hands, I can't do. I know I'm supposed to get up here and say that right and sound all spiritual, but I'm telling you, what God puts in my hands, I can't do. I learn that every week more and more. So let me read this quote to you as you think, have that in mind. He says, we are never to approach any work for God from the perspective of our own natural abilities. And he quotes John Calvin. Whoever therefore shall acknowledge that God is sufficient for overcoming all obstacles will gird himself bravely for his work. But he who delays for calculating his own strength, did you catch that? If God puts it in your hand and you delay because you're calculating your own strength, what do you say? Well, I say, can I really do that? No, that's not the question, is it? Is God calling you to do that? So, will him gird himself bravely for his work, but he who delays for calculating his own strength is not only weakened, but is almost overcome. He continues, many are so full, yea, so puffed out with confidence, that they bring forth nothing but wind. Hence, let us learn to seek from God alone that fortitude which we need, for we are not stronger than Ezekiel. And if needed to be strengthened by the Spirit of God, much more do we at this time need it. It's that wild ride of following the Lord God of the universe. It's faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. So it's a journey. We go. We don't see the way ahead. We trust God for the way ahead. Let me read another quote, speaking of the somewhat uniqueness of Ezekiel. Well, I'll read the quote and it'll explain. This is from an Ian Duguid. He gives us this insight. Throughout history, mystics have sought to experience visions of God. They have often gone to great lengths in their pursuit of this ultimate experience, subjecting their bodies to innumerable hardships in order to attain a great spiritual high. They have traveled to the ends of the earth and undergone fastings, lack of sleep, isolation, self-denial, and self-flagellation in search of contact with the divine. Now here he changes. He says, in contrast, God comes to Ezekiel entirely unsought and reveals himself to the prophet, not for the sake of giving him the quiet time to end all quiet times, but rather to commission him for a task and to entrust him with a message. The message that Ezekiel is to proclaim is not his own, but God's. For that reason, only God can empower him and authorize him to deliver it. Amen. Isn't that good? On the most basic level, therefore, the call, vision, and commissioning serve to authenticate Ezekiel's ministry, both to himself and to his audience. First lesson, God gives his message. So, if you would turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 8, we're going to actually backpedal a little bit because 3:1 says, and he said to me, son of man, eat whatever you find here. So we got to go back to verse 8 to see, to catch up a little bit. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 8. But you, son of man, and one of my commentators tell me that about 90 some times Ezekiel is called son of man throughout the book of Ezekiel. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Be not rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. And when I looked, behold, a hand was stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. And he spread it before me, and it had writing on the front and on the back, and there were written on it words of lamentation and mourning and woe. And he said to me, son of man, eat whatever you find here. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he gave me this scroll to eat. Here, first of all, number one, hear what God says to you. See back in verse 8. See, these things, they're right there. But it's like, well, let's look at it. What is the first thing God says? God says to Ezekiel, now I want you to hear what I'm saying to you. I want you to hear what I'm saying to you. And just something else, too. Because we could be saying, well, Dave, isn't this a little overblown? I mean, we're not Old Testament prophets. We're not prophets at all, are we? Well, no, we're not prophets like that, not as a classification, not as an office. But if you're going to speak for God, because it said if you speak for God, what'd Peter tell us? And that's New Testament. Speak as the very words, you're speaking the very words of God. That tells us a couple of things. One, it gives us that direction. Two, it tells us that if it's our pride, our arrogance, boy, you know, I've got something to share. You're completely in the wrong place. But if we're going to speak, we've been given a task, again, that we can't do. See, that's acknowledging what God is saying. God has to enable us. God has to enable us. So we got to hear what God says to you. And then it's interesting, too. Secondly, in that verse 8, he says, be not rebellious. Don't be rebellious. It's such a devastating sin, I believe, in the church today, the rebellion. Those ancient Israelites, that stiff-necked people, well, you know what? It didn't stay in the Middle East. It's around the world. And the rebellious heart, and we can say all the right things. We can perfectly rehearse what is the good Christian life. But are we hearing God? Are we hearing God? It takes us to that. We looked at this morning, that path, the path of life, the path that God takes us to, the path of Jesus, Son of God. It's a very good way to look at our Christian life, is on a path. We'll stumble and fall on that path. We'll have great victories on that path. But always what you have is you have the presence of God, you have the Word of God, the Spirit of God. So be not rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Eat what God gives you. I think it was at dinner today. We had some folks over, and I said that, you know, I come to texts probably every week that I wish they were different than what they were, because it would be a lot easier. But without fail, those difficult places and having to work my way through that, it yields God's insight. But and as I said before earlier too, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing. I'm not complaining. But just every week, it's like I learn more and more what it's this whole idea, what God puts in our hands. We can't do it ourselves. We have to wait on God. We have to. So what do we have to do? Now, if God's getting our attention there, we're going to be more prone to listen to Him, aren't we? When we have that attitude, because we don't have that attitude a lot of times when we get in the pulpit. And we don't have that attitude a lot of times when we teach a Sunday school class. There's not the attitude that I'm up here speaking for God. Now, that's not to chase us away from that. That's to humble us before Him. So He prepares our hearts to do that. We have this great privilege. He tells us to redeem the time, to buy the opportunities, this great privilege. But it's humbling and it's purifying. God dealing so directly with us that to make us a fit vessel, a channel for Him to speak the very words of God. Fourthly, stay faithful to God's message. I've got another quote here if I can find it. Yeah. This is part of realizing at 5 minutes till six at church, started at six tonight. I didn't have it already before today. We had people over. Yeah, like I say, Carrie came in and it's like, you know, it's getting close. And anyway, but here it is. What did I just say? To stay faithful to God's message. Derek Thomas again. There are a number of ways in which faithfulness was called for. First, Ezekiel was asked to deliver this message to his own people, those who spoke his own language. The difficulty was recognized by Jesus when he spoke of prophets receiving honor everywhere apart from their own hometown. It is one thing to be faithful before complete strangers. It is another before those who know you intimately. Can be intimidating, can it? Witnessing to that relative, witnessing to that neighbor that he's known you since you were kids and known you earlier, and they know stuff about you, don't they? And we trust God. It's a humbling process. Our pride fights that. He says, second, God called for faithfulness to the message itself. He says, we shall see in a moment the content of the message, but the fact that it is described as full of lament and mourning. This is in verse 10, full of lament and mourning and woe is sufficient to underline how difficult it was going to be to deliver it. I guess I don't want to stand up here tonight and talk about all the problems we got, you know, but we do have a lot, and this is one of them. We want to take God's message of love, although when we treat it the way we do, it's really no longer God's message of love. We want to say positive things, but see, sometimes we'll have those things, the greatly encouraging, strengthening things, but you will not be faithful in those if God hasn't prepared you to speak for Him. Because if we're prepared to speak for Him, no matter whether it's the love of God or the judgment of God, the encouraging things or the destruction that He calls and the judgment that He's called for, as here is the content of the message, lamentation and mourning and woe. This is the content of your message, Ezekiel. And then it goes to verse 1, son of man, eat whatever you find here. Right here, Ezekiel, where I'm pointing you to. Are you hearing what I'm saying, Ezekiel? Don't be rebellious, Ezekiel. Stay faithful to this message. Eat this right here. You're going to go to a people and they're not going to listen. In verse 3 of Ezekiel 3, he said to me, son of man, feed your belly with this scroll that I give you and fill your stomach with it. Then I ate it and it was in my mouth as sweet as honey. You know, sometimes we have so much, you know, it's good. And you know, I'll go on the internet. I'll look for illustrations, things that illustrate to introduce messages, different things like that. But that can't be what I'm filling my stomach with, is the thoughts of this world and all this interesting stuff. What we fill ourselves with is the Word of God. We fill ourselves with the Word of God. And we might say the good, the bad, and the ugly. Someone was telling me the other day, and he was talking to a Mormon, I'm pretty sure, and he said that this person had told this person, and I'm going to communicate it as accurately as I can, said that we're not always allowed to read the Word of God. He said, you know, in the Word of God, he said, there's pornography. Because of all, the Bible's pretty revealing book, isn't it? Murder and adultery and, boy, you name it. And, but who gave all that to us? I've actually been rebuked more than once, I think was specifically after a Sunday evening message, preaching through 1 Peter. And I'm like, but where did this come from? Well, these young people, they hear that. It's like, well, you know, God's a lot wiser than I am, and he's the one that put it there. It wasn't something I'd gone to. It wasn't a topical message. We were preaching through 1 Peter. It said, love covers a multitude of sins. It's a quote of a proverb. And but this person was very fearful, and because he was very legalistic. So if you're enslaved in legalism, then you're going to be fearful. It may not always appear like that, and often it doesn't appear like that. But know this: underlying it is a fearful person. And but we fill ourselves with God's message, verses 4-6. And he said to me, son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. For you are not sent to a people of foreign speech and a hard language, but to the house of Israel, not to many peoples of foreign speech and a hard language whose words you cannot understand. Surely if I sent you to such, they would listen to you. Speak God's words to the people God directs you to. Speak God's words to the people God directs you to. And that can be right back to the, you know, we might want to preach to those people out there. But it's the people right here, and this is the awesome responsibility I have, the very difficult responsibility that I have at times to. You're my main responsibility, aren't you? I'm to speak God's words to you. We can be tempted because I want you to keep liking me, maybe even loving me. And so we might wonder sometimes if we speak, but if we're honoring God, if we're true to this, if this preparation, like with Ezekiel, is going on in our lives, we don't really have a choice. We really don't. And that's a good thing to realize that. You bow before God, we do what God says, and then you know what? God just might work in our midst. Speak even if they're not willing to listen to you, verse 7. But the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you, for they are not willing to listen to me, because all the house of Israel have a hard forehead and a stubborn heart. That can be true. We don't have that here. Please understand that. I mean, you're always going to have individuals. And just speaking of that, you know, last Sunday when I was dealing with the throat thing, and you know, sometimes I do, we're ending a song and it's time for the prayer time, and I'll just walk down and sit and listen to you sing. I did that right at the start of the last verse of that song last Sunday, but there was just such a sense of the presence of God and the movement of God in our midst. And you know, somebody might talk to me about the church, and I say I'm very hopeful for the work of God at the church, Faith Fellowship Church of Tennessee, Illinois. But the way that God can be faithful and the way that he'll work in our midst is we're honest. We confront our problems. We speak what God would have us to speak to each other, and we let God work. But here it says, speak even if they're not willing to listen to you. Trust God. 8, trust God for mental toughness. Verses 8 and 9. Behold, I have made your face as hard as their faces, and your forehead as hard as their foreheads. Like emery, harder than flint, have I made your forehead. Fear them not, nor be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. And we looked a little bit last week. This is not the first time that Ezekiel, this is in our text, it was two weeks ago. Also, don't be dismayed by their looks. And we all know what that is. You get that look. It can be a good look, and then it can be a look that makes you want to shiver, can it? But we have to have a mental toughness and a mental endurance to stick with the task. It's like, you know, someone said, I believe it was John MacArthur, he said, people take God's word, and they say it basically, and this is what the gist of what he said, not his words verbatim, not even close. But people will take it, they'll take the gospel or take whatever it is, and they'll make it more attractive for someone. So they'll just change it a little here, change it a little there, make it more attractive. Maybe if we can change that a little bit, we can reach those people. So then it's like, well, really? God's word isn't up to the task. God's wisdom and power aren't up to the task. You've got a better plan than God. You can take, these people aren't responding to God, but you, little weak, finite, sinful human, can take the holy words of God and just twist and turn a little bit and adapt and modify, and that'll do the work of God? Don't think so, do you? I don't think so. It's trusting God. We're messengers. We're messenger boys and messenger girls. It's never our message. You know, it seems like everybody quotes that no prophecy is given of any man, etc., etc. To admit, I wonder, and I hear that quoted, I wonder if they believe it a lot of times. Trust God for mental toughness. Receive God's words in your heart. Verse 10, moreover, he said to me, son of man, all my words, son of man, all my words shall I that I shall speak to you, receive in your heart and hear with your ears. Now, sometimes it's really not a matter of rebellion. Sometimes it's not a matter of, trying to fight God off. Sometimes it's just we're too busy. But often, and I think it's the case in our church and in every church I've been in, we have not disciplined ourselves to pay attention as we should. We have not disciplined ourselves to listen. I mean, I'm astounded sometimes a verse is read and somebody will say, and this is what this says. The words don't say it though. So if the words don't say it, that isn't what it said, is it? Now, I don't think that's always done, like the evil, you know, somebody's trying to be evil. We have just become so sloppy. I don't know if I read it. Hebrews 5:11. And this was in my reading this past week. I'm reading through this year in the NIV. I think next year, Carrie talked about it too, maybe the Amplified. But does anyone hear this? Well, here, hang on a second. I got it right here. I just wanted to read it. It's good in all of our Bibles, so don't. But it just... this is a benefit of reading through different translations. But Hebrews 5:11 in the NIV, we have much to say about this, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. Why is that? It's just not important enough. I mean, we'll dig in, we'll roll up our sleeves to overhaul a motor or to build a house. Or to put that addition on, or a plumbing job, or to take on a new piece of technology. But we won't give God 2 cents of our time to understand what He's actually saying, or to discipline ourselves to hear, or to understand the size of the task. No, we're not prophets like Ezekiel. No, not like the Apostle Paul. But you know what we are? We are children of God. It says, and now we are. Not just later when we see Jesus. Servants, slaves of Jesus Christ. What an honor. What a calling and a commission. But we don't want to give God the time of day or His Word the time of day. Or now, folks, don't get upset with me. That daily bread, it's done a lot of good over the years, but it just doesn't cut it as far as truly discipline ourselves to dig into God's Word. If nothing else, just read it. Read it. Maybe you won't understand. You won't. You won't understand it all. I don't understand it. You read through text and you don't get some of that, but you honor God, but there will be a lot coming in that you didn't expect, and you will understand it, and you'll train yourself to hear God. And we'll discipline ourselves. We'll discipline ourselves, it seems, for every other thing. And see, this is how the avenue, the way in for the false teachers. You know, Paul encouraged them. He says, you got to pay attention. But he said, that's not what's happening. It'd be like that Corinthians passage this morning. They come in with another Jesus. They come in with another spirit. They roll another gospel in there and you put up with it easily enough. Why is that? Is that honoring to God? Is that loving God? Because that's what we are called to. If nothing else from our Revelation study, it's to love God first. And everything else comes in. It comes in under that. Receive God's word in your heart. Hear God's word with your ears. Verse 10 again. Speak, thus saith the Lord God, whether they hear or refuse to hear. Verse 11. And go to the exiles, to your people, and speak to them, and say to them, thus saith the Lord God. Go to your people, speak to them, thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or refuse to hear. See, this is the heart preparation. Are you prepared to speak for God? Do we even prepare? Do we even acknowledge that we need to prepare to speak for God? Are we doing that? This is part of that preparation. It's not like, I've got that message. Boy, I hope they really like it. I hope I hear those, see those smiles and hear those amens. Now, I do love to see the smiles, and I love the amens, and I love the eye contact, and I know when I'm connecting, love all of those things, but that can't be what I'm after, whether you hear or not, whether you refuse to hear, whether you refuse to listen. If I'm prepared to speak for God, I will say, thus says the Lord. Can I get an amen on that? Okay, I hear that. Not just me, though, is it? This message all, no, it's not just, it's us in general. And if it's true for the one prepared to speak, then it's like the 2 Timothy 4, if Paul commissions Timothy, said, you preach the word in the presence of God and with the vision of Jesus Christ coming and his kingdom and all of that, if that's what the preacher has to have in mind, the presence of God, then if you're sitting there listening, that's how you need to be listening too, in the presence of God, isn't it? Receive God's words in your heart. Hear God's words with your ears. Thus says the Lord God. And then we have a glory interlude. And we'll see this throughout. This is something I'm discovering through Ezekiel. The glory interludes in verse 12. Then the Spirit lifted me up. And I think Ezekiel needs it. I mean, can you picture Ezekiel? He wasn't a prophet. God went, like I read that one quote, God said, okay, here you go, Ezekiel, this is my job. Now you're in training. And it started off with what? The glory of God. Ezekiel, God said, oh, Ezekiel, I want you to see my greatness and my awesomeness and my majesty and my splendor. And folks, we have to keep seeing it. God has to break through the clouds. We have to have those Selah moments when it's glory to God, because that is what will keep us sharp and focused, that will breathe life into us, just like here. Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me the voice of a great earthquake. Blessed be the God of the Lord from its place. Blessed be the glory of the Lord from its place. It was the sound of the wings of the living creatures. He's probably beginning to recognize that sound now. You know what I mean? Ah, the cherubim, the living creatures, here they come. The sound of the wings of the living creatures as they touched one another, and the sound of the wheels beside them, and the sound of a great earthquake. The Spirit lifted me up and took me away. The Spirit lifted me up. I'm sorry. I lost my place, and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, the hand of the Lord being strong upon me, and I came to the exiles at Tel Aviv, who were dwelling by the Chebar Canal, and I sat where they were dwelling, and I sat there overwhelmed among them 7 days. Now, this is part of the journey, too, and this is that I was telling you about as you know, I'm going on 65. Remember when we were kids? You know, I'm 8 years old, but I'm going on 9. Well, in December, I'm going to be 65 years old. And there's just so much God's teaching me. And this is one of those things that this overwhelmed part, because we can look, oh, I'm overwhelmed. This is bad. No, not necessarily. Now, it could be. We could be have ourselves involved in too many things, or we could be anxious when we shouldn't be. But sometimes we just have to see that, again, that the task is bigger than we are, and it overwhelms us, and then we let go of that, and it's like, okay, God, this is what you're calling me to do. You've convinced me I can't do it. And he will do his work in our lives. So he has that glory interlude. You know what? We're going to stop right there. We'll pick up next week. Verse 16, because the watchman text is, I could really quickly flip over it but I hope you're excited in a good way, not like, oh, this is just neat and that, but it's like the real insight, you know. Well, first of all, just God in general and his word and the blessing of him speaking to us in such a specific nature, the insight he brings. And then this heart preparation, that this is Ezekiel. Let's see, when would Ezekiel be? 2,500 years or so ago, something somewhere around there. This dynamic, this spiritual dynamic, but it's the same dynamic in our lives. And it's not something important we're doing because it's us doing it. It's something important we're doing because now we are the children of God. This will all click so much one day in heaven. We'll look back. What we don't want to look back and say, boy, I could have done so much more. I had so many more opportunities. I didn't buy those opportunities because the joy that we could bring our God with our faithfulness. Would you join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, for this good day that it's been. Thank you for your loving care. Thank you for forever hope. Thank you for things that you give us that can never be taken away. The world gives and takes it back, and it can be stolen, and rust can corrupt it, and moths can corrupt it, but what you give can never be taken away, never be spoiled or tainted, never be nothing harmed or damaged from it. Help us to have our minds set on things above as you direct us so carefully to do. Focus our attention on things above that we might honor you here below. In Jesus' name, amen.